Appreciate this meeting and the Lord's blessings here. 1 Timothy 5 and 24 tells us, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to the judgment, and some men they follow after. I noticed that in the scripture there are only two classes of men listed. There are men whose sins go before them to the judgment, and there are men whose sins are following after them to show up at the judgment later. I don't find any men that it says they didn't have any sin. In fact, Romans tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And John tells us if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So there is this universal problem of sin, and I also notice that all sin ends up at the judgment. There is no sin that escapes the eye of God. The question tonight is, what are we going to do about our sin? It sounds like we just have two choices. We can either take care of it in this life and go ahead and present it to the judgment of God, confess it to God, or it's going to be following after us and show up when we don't want it to be there. Time has a way of erasing our memory. We can do things many years in the past and forget all about them. But did you know that time will not erase sin? Other people may forget about it. You may forget that you did it. But that sin is going to show up at the judgment unless it's taken care of in this life. So what do we do to take care of our sin? We need to confess it. See, some men's sins are open beforehand. They make a confession, I have sinned. They forsake sin. And the Lord, in His great mercy and love, is willing to forgive and set people free. I'd like to read in Acts chapter 24 and verse 24. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard of him concerning the faith of Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. My question tonight is, when is there a convenient season? You know, that is something that it seems like it's just not convenient right now. I think I will put it off for a while. I wonder if when Paul wrote the scripture about some men take care of their sins by confessing them in this life and sending them on to the judgment, and some men's sins follow them afterward, I wonder if he remembered that night where Felix was there trembling, considering, recognizing that there is a judgment coming, that he had sins in his life and trembling and weighing the cost. I wonder if Paul thought about that when he wrote about some men's sins, just follow after them. Darson was a young man from our village on the Caribbean island, Roatan, Honduras. He came from a troubled home, a single mother. Darson ran the streets, started using drugs, and resorted to stealing to support his addiction. I remember the day that Darson was caught. In Honduras, we have two types of police. We have regular police that enforce the traffic laws, and we have soldiers. Soldiers are the one that go after the really bad criminals. They are paramilitary police. They carry assault rifles. They're dressed in camouflage. And I remember the day that came when the soldiers came and got Darson. I saw Darson going up the hill that leads out of our village in the back of a little pickup with soldiers in there with him. He was a tall young man, and there he was sitting in the back of that pickup. And I remember it vividly, even though it happened so many years ago. My heart yearned for the young men of that village. And it brought such a feeling over me that day when I saw that young man going out. They took him to the prison on the mainland. And the prison on the mainland is not a comfortable place. By comparison, we have some very comfortable prisons here in the United States. But there, they pack them in tight. They'll have bunk beds five high. It's humid, unair conditioned. You go in there to hold a church service, and the prisoner may ask you, "Can I have a little soap? That pen in your pocket, could I have that pen? I'm hungry." In some places, they are dependent on family to bring them food so that they're not hungry. It's a tough place to be, and that's where Darson was. When we would hold church services in the prison, Darson would not necessarily show up. So I sought Darson out, and I asked him about his soul. But he wouldn't say much. Darson was a very quiet, tall young man, and I stood there looking up at him, and I was wondering what was going through his mind. But he didn't say. I said, "Darson, this is your time to seek the Lord. While you're here, if you wait until you get out, you'll just go back to the same old life." Well, sadly, my prediction came true. He got out and he went back to the same old life. One day, Darson and a group of young men were working on the roof of a house. And the wind had been blowing hard for a long time, and the sea was rough. They looked out and they saw something floating on the sea. In Central America, drug trafficking is big business. And when the traffickers realize the authorities are after them, they may throw their contraband, which is in watertight containers, overboard, and it may be out there floating on the sea. So these young men saw that and they thought, "There are some drugs." And they rushed down to the sea, and five of them got into a dory, a small wooden boat. No life jackets. The boat was too small for them. They got out there and the dory went down in those rough waters. Someone on shore saw what happened and they managed to get out and rescue three of the men, but they could not find Darson. That was on Thursday. And it created a major stir in the village. Many of the villagers waited by the sea, looking out at the search dories passing back and forth, looking into the endless waves. As time and hope began to pass, the villagers began to leave from watching the scene. I returned to the seaside to see Darson's mother alone at the end of the dock. Can you imagine the grief of a mother? For several days, there was a hush over the village. Normally, you would hear rap or country and western music blaring from boomboxes. But now, gospel hymns were playing. On Sunday, someone discovered Darson's body washed up on the shore. It was swollen. It was stinking. Someone stood guard to keep the vultures away, and they hurriedly built a plywood coffin, and they buried him on the hill of the village. It may have been 2 weeks before that. I'd been talking with Darson. He came over to borrow a wheelbarrow. And he told me, "I've been thinking about it. And I asked him, "You've been thinking about what?" Darson was quiet. He nodded toward the chapel, and I said, "You've been thinking about getting saved?" He nodded his head, "Yes." I told him, "Don't wait too long." You see, some men's sins go before them to the judgment. They take care of them while they have opportunity. Even though the time may not be convenient, they get their sins taken care of. There was another man on the island who went by the name of Leach. He came to the mission chapel one evening service, and he came forward to the altar for prayer. I went down to pray with him, and I wanted to know what he was wanting from the Lord. "Well, just pray with me." And I wanted to know if he was seeking salvation. "No, just pray for me. I'm not ready yet." The last time I saw Leach was in June of 2010, and he was walking his dog, and it caught my attention because he acted like he was in a real hurry. You know, when you're walking your dog, aren't you normally relaxed and enjoying yourself? He acted like he was in a hurry, like he didn't have much time left. One day I got a phone call, and Leach had been riding in the back of a pickup. The driver of the pickup saw the police, began running from the police, and crashed into a tree. And Leach died in the accident. His time had run out. There was another young woman on the island named Yvette. She spent her youth following the ways of sin. She used drugs. She walked the streets. In spite of never being married, she had a number of children fathered by various men. While we lived in Honduras, we had compassion on Yvette's young daughter. And we took her into our home to help raise her. The years came and went, and Yvette continued the downward road of sin. One day, my wife and I were in the largest village of the island on business, and we met Yvette on the street. We talked for a while, and Yvette requested financial help. Does that surprise you? Did you know that living in the pig pen isn't a very prosperous lifestyle? It can leave you longing for the husks that the swine fill their belly with. And here is Yvette pursuing a life of pleasure and sin and ending up needing something. We talked for a while. And after a while, I asked her, "Yvette, aren't you tired of the life you're living?" Yvette looked at me and tears began streaming down her cheeks. "Yvette, why don't you give your heart to the Lord?" But Yvette was not ready, and she went her way. That was the last time I ever saw her. A few years later, I received another phone call. Yvette had gone missing, and they finally found her body in a plastic bag. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to the judgment, but some neglect and wait for a more convenient season. Others choose to hide their sins. In the darkness of the night, in the privacy of their own minds, they choose to hide their sins. Did you know sin is not hidden from God? God can look down in the darkest of the nights. He can look down into the very crevices of your heart. And He sees everything. Proverbs 28:13 tells us, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them." You see what we need to do? If we want to go ahead and send our sins forward to the judgment, to do business with God in this life, we need to confess, Lord, I have sinned. But it's not just confessing. It's not just saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. It is forsaking them. Leaving them behind. Proverbs 20, 30 and 20. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. Wiping your mouth is not doing business with God to take care of the sin in this life before it follows you to the judgment. Hiding sin will not make it go away. There's a Father up above looking down in tender love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful about walking the streets, about taking the drugs, about pursuing the men or the women. Be careful where you are going, because there's a Father, and even though the night may be dark, He's looking down. But He's looking down in tender love, longing for the time that that soul will come home. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to the judgment. Some people do business with God in this life and get it taken care of. But others are deceived. 2 Thessalonians chapter 10. I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Did you know unrighteousness has a tendency to deceive people? It is a blinding influence in the life. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth makes us feel conviction. Makes us feel guilty. Let us love the truth. Lord, is that true about me? Then Lord, help me to fix it. And for this cause, for what cause? Because they receive not a love for the truth, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but notice this, had pleasure in unrighteousness. What is the entertainment world today? Would it be fair to say a large portion of the content is unrighteousness? God help us that we will not take pleasure in things that are unrighteous. The Lord sent a message to Saul. Completely destroy the Amalekites. The men, the women, the children, the animals, destroy the enemy. 1 Samuel 15 and 12. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about, and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul. And Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. Wait, Saul. I thought God commanded you to destroy the animals. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord. Oh, that sounds like a good thing to do. To sacrifice the best of the Lord. Thy God and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. This doesn't sound like a confession to me. Saul had sinned. And instead of saying, oh, Samuel, I have something to confess. Instead, he pronounces a blessing on him and claims to have obeyed the Lord. Then what is this bleating of the sheep in mine ears? You know, sheep will bleat at an inconvenient time, won't they? And the cattle may start bawling or lowing at a time when the prophet of the Lord had shown up, and you're sure wanting those cattle to be quiet. Did you know your sins can crop up at some of the most inconvenient times? Jesus said, a good man of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, but an evil man from the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Sometimes just the abundance that's in there will come out at the most inconvenient and embarrassing time. Psalms chapter 94. Psalm 94, verse 2, lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? Verse 6, they slay the widow and the stranger and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see. The Lord shall not see. He sees everything. But they're saying, the Lord shall not see. Neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Proverbs 5 and 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth all his goings. You know, God is interested in what you are doing and what I am doing. He is interested in what we are doing when there's nobody there to see. He is interested in the thoughts and intents of our heart. He's pondering all of our goings. God help us. Proverbs 15 and 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. King Ahab coveted the vineyard of his neighbor Naboth. The law said, thou shalt not covet. And so the wife of King Ahab had Naboth killed because Naboth was unwilling to sell his inheritance to the king. Here's the claim they made on Naboth. Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. So they had a trial. And they stoned him to death. You know what they did? They murdered him under the guise of the law. The law is not going to hide sin. After this happened, Ahab went down to view his stolen vineyard. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 17. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 17. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. You know, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, and he was watching that false trial. He was seeing the covetousness in the heart of Ahab. He witnessed the whole thing, and he tells his prophet what's going on. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall the dogs lick thy blood, even thine. All men have sinned. And some men's sins go ahead to the judgment, but some follow after. Ahab, your sins are going to follow you. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Oh, these prophets show up at such inconvenient times. I imagine that took all the pleasure of him enjoying his new property away. Here comes the prophet of the Lord. Well, what are you doing here? Have you found me, mine enemy? Well, the Lord found you, actually. King David committed adultery. He committed murder. He coveted. 2 Samuel 12 and 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and did eat his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was as a daughter unto him. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. What does sin produce? It can produce anger. Because it's wrong. It's a sense of injustice. This is wrong. Somebody's going to have to die. What else does sin produce? It produces death. Sometimes it produces physical death. Verse 6, And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. Verse 9, Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord, to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah. See, our sins will follow after us, and they will go to the judgment of God. And God will point them out to us. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword and hast taken his wife to be thy wife. She didn't belong to you. She belonged to Uriah. And hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house because thou hast despised me and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. David thought he had his sins covered. In order to cover the evidence, he had the man that could expose the whole thing put to death. Surely I have it hidden now. No, there's a Father up above, looking down in tender love. He loved David enough to send his prophet and tell him, Thou art the man. I love the prayer that David prayed. Psalm 51 and verse 1, Have mercy on me, O God. Now here we have a picture of David sending his sins on to the judgment ahead of time. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness and according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. What a beautiful picture of God. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. Some men confess their sins in this life and go ahead and expose them to God and do business with God. I acknowledge my transgressions. I'm not going to be like Saul that says, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Instead, I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me against thee and thee only. Have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest? All sin is going to the judgment. But David was willing to go ahead and confess in this life. If there is any sin in your life, I want to ask you, what more convenient time is there than today to go ahead and confess that sin? If there is something between you and your brother that needs to be cleared up, what better day than today to go ahead and get that taken care of? Go thy way, a more convenient time I will call thee tomorrow. Have you ever noticed that tomorrow never comes? It's always today, isn't it? And if you are putting off doing business with God until tomorrow, there's a very good chance you will be just like Darson and Yvette and Leach and so many others that were waiting for that convenient time and it got away from them. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, but she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." All sin is going to be judged. Saul, you had your opportunity to kill those animals in the battle. You didn't have to bring the reproach on the people. You didn't have to lose the kingdom. You had your opportunity. David, you had your opportunity to spare Uriah's life. You know, that man was a man of greater character than David, actually. It was amazing. David, why did you give opportunity for the enemies of the Lord to reproach the cause? Why did you put this huge blight on your kingdom? A man after God's own heart. I'm glad David did repent. Amen. And went ahead and sent his sins to the judgment. There was a time, I know, when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled long ago. The old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead to the judgment day and I saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle, and settled long ago. If we do repent beforehand, before Judgment Day, here's what we're going to see. Psalm 91, verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Sins of a lifetime. Sins we have forgotten will follow us. Is this a convenient time to do business with God? I believe it is. I don't know when it's going to get more convenient. As we get older, you know, our minds aren't as good. And as we get older, our hearts grow harder, and those convenient days, it's easier and easier to put it off. Lord, help us tonight to think about the coming judgment and to do business with God, because God loves us so much. He is so merciful. He's willing to say tonight, I'm going to cut all that loose from you. It's all going to be gone. It's going to be as far as the east is from the west. And you're going to be free. May God bless you tonight.